Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. The gospel today calls us into the story of a family. The family of these three siblings, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And it's a story that is both heartfelt and also kind of heartbreaking as we listen to it. This is not the first time that Jesus has interacted and met with this family. In fact, through the gospel, we see several specific stories and hints that, in fact, this was a family that Jesus was very close to throughout his ministry. We hear the story, it's referenced in this gospel today, of Mary and how she at one point had anointed the Lord's feet and dried this expensive, perfumed ointment with her own hair. This was in response to a situation where Mary had received forgiveness, and it changed her life. She had an enormous conversion. It changed her life, and she came to have this intense love for Jesus and what he had accomplished in her life. We also know of another story of Jesus, and it's a much more lighthearted story. It's the story of Jesus going and having dinner with this family, Lazarus and Martha and Mary. It's the famous story of Martha and Mary, that they're there at supper, and you can tell how familiar they are with each other because Martha and Mary are sort of bickering with each other. There's some sort of sibling rivalries that are happening as this dinner goes along, because Martha comes into the room and turns to Jesus and says, "Well, Jesus, doesn't it bother you that Mary's here, you know, leaving me to do all of the work in the kitchen?" We can almost imagine the sort of echoes of probably many versions of this argument between Martha and Mary. Jesus uses it as the opportunity to speak about the importance. He says that Mary has chosen the better part, will not be taken away from her. But we see in this, that closeness of this family. There are hints that Jesus was indeed very tied to this family. We heard in this story here today how much he loved them. We see it in his words and in his actions. Which leads us to ask some difficult questions as we read through this passage. If Jesus so loved this family, indeed that was the way that the message was sent from the sisters. They said, "Jesus, the one that you love is ill. Why did he delay? Why did he wait an extra 2 days before traveling up to Judea?" In fact, Jesus makes it very clear that he understood precisely what he was doing. He was delaying so that Lazarus would already have completed the end of his illness and died and been put in the tomb. How could Jesus do this? Why would Jesus do this to people that he loved? As we read through the story, we know that it continues on and there's a happy ending to this. This shocking moment and an overwhelming kind of moment of relief when we see Jesus, who orders that the stone would be opened, and he says, "You know, come out, Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus does. He comes out, and the grieving immediately is turned into joy. Though even here, careful readers have noted the fact that, yes, Lazarus rose up from the tomb, and they no longer had to be grieving over Lazarus. But also, this didn't really fix the underlying problem. Lazarus would one day be put into the tomb again. So we're left with two sort of strange situations here. One, why did Jesus delay? Why was it that he didn't go right away to offer healing and salvation for Lazarus, this person that he loved? And more than that, what was he trying to accomplish by bringing him out of the tomb if, in the end, all of us, we know, Lazarus here in this story, would eventually have to go back into the tomb? Aren't we just sort of delaying the inevitable? Now, I'd like to offer two reflections on this, maybe answering these questions. The first one is what comes out in the conversation that Jesus has with Martha when he arrives there in Bethany. Martha rushes out. She meets him even outside the village. She's so anxious to come and to speak to Jesus. And in their conversation, they speak about resurrection. And here we have the sort of ultimate answer to what's going on here. He asks her, "Do you believe that Lazarus will be raised?" And she makes an astonishing act of faith. She says, "Yes, I believe. On the last day, he will be raised." Martha, as many faithful Jews at her time, had heard the words of the prophet, as we heard today, of how God would raise up his people. And she believed that there would be a resurrection on the last day. In some ways, very similar to the way that we profess in our own creed, that we believe in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus confirms this. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus says. This is the ultimate question, or the ultimate answer to the fundamental question underneath. What is God's response to death? God's response is the resurrection of Jesus, yes, of all on the last day. This resurrection that we see is therefore symbolized and made present in a small way, in an anticipatory way, in what happens with Lazarus. He is called forth out of the tomb after days of being in the tomb, much like Jesus would come forth out of the tomb in his own resurrection, and indeed as God would call forth all the righteous to that resurrection at the end of time. And yet, even as we see this sort of ultimate answer, there's a second part of what Jesus does here. Because even though Jesus has this ultimate faith that the Father will bring about the resurrection and the life, even so, that faith does not make him immune to the sorrow and the sadness, to the grieving and to the tears of seeing his friend dead. Martha, who comes forward with this act of deep faith, also shows us the same. She believes in the resurrection, but this does not make her immune to the sadness and the tears and the hurt and the pain. The first words that come out of her mouth, "Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened." Many times have we felt maybe the same sort of way. "God, why did you let this happen? You know, Jesus, he doesn't get defensive with this accusation. It seems as though he recognizes that even if there is this faith that answers the ultimate and fundamental question, it doesn't mean that there will not be fear and frustration and hurt and pain along the way. His interaction with Mary, who Martha, we know she's the busy one, she's the doer, right? Mary seems to be just overwhelmed with grief and hardly able to do anything. When she finally hears that Jesus has come, she rushes out to go meet with him, and the first words on her lips are exactly the same accusation. Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. Why did you let this happen? The hurt, the pain, the frustration, it's all coming out again. And Jesus, he doesn't deflect it away. It gets into him. And he sees Mary crying. And he sees the people crying. And it says that he was deeply disturbed. And that he himself began to weep. What lesson might we take from this story here today, being drawn into this family drama with all its heartbreak and all of its heartfelt moments? It's a call for us to faith. It's a call to us to have that same sort of faith that Jesus did in the Father. That in God's plan, all things will be set right. And even the things that look to us like the worst that could happen, in some mysterious way, God will bring it about to his good plan. It's a call to faith, but it's also a call to realize that that faith does not make us somehow immune to these problems, the sadness and the pain that is around us. Jesus' faith in the Father is such that he doesn't just rush in and swoop down and cure Lazarus and they never have to undergo any sadness. So it is in our lives. We pray, we ask for God's blessing, we ask for help in crises and in illness and even in facing death. We ask God for help in all of these things. And yet, as we see in this story with Jesus, there can be this mysterious answer of God waiting, not responding, not giving us this, not taking away whatever it is that is the sadness and the frustration. And we see in Jesus this dynamic between him and the two sisters. But it's okay. Even if we have faith, it's okay to cry. Even if we have faith, it's okay to be angry and frustrated and confused. It's okay to grieve. But Jesus will be with us. He doesn't take it away, but he remains close to us in the midst of it. One final thought then. In these upcoming weeks, we're going to be seeing illness and death. It's an opportunity for us, certainly, to make this act of faith. But also realize that God is not simply going to sweep away all of the problems and the pain. And that if we stay close to Jesus in this time, have that same faith in our own hearts, then we will also be prepared to walk with others as they may be experiencing even more than we do, sadness and the grief, and the pain and the questions that come up at this time. So we turn to this gospel today. We ask that the Lord would grant to us also the same faith as we see in Jesus, this faith that God will bring all things to their right end, but that God will also be with us in the suffering.